Hey, good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. Man, you guys are a loud group tonight. I like it. I like it. I like it. That gives me energy. So keep it up. But right now, silence. Silence. Hey, welcome to the, the August edition of Explore. The August edition. That's pretty cool, right? Yep. And so I almost don't want to call you out, but I do want to call you out because we love you and you are our friend. Is anybody here for the first time? That look back here. Yeah, look at this. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we are glad you're here. I can't wait to meet you. My name is Lonnie Smith, and I have the privilege of directing single adults here at Watermark, and Explore is just kind of one arm of this ministry that we get to do. And if you're not familiar with it, Explore is just really, we think it's important to study the Word of God. And in doing so, our goal in that is to obviously grow as disciples and then ultimately make disciples as well. And that should, of course, multiply in this little region that God has placed us in here that we call Dallas and then ultimately overseas as well. So we are pretty passionate about that. So I know a lot of you call Watermark Church your home, and some of you are visiting with us from another church that you would call home, and some of you would say, I really don't have a church home, and then some of you might say, I really haven't even started a spiritual journey, so I'm asking questions about that. So it's kind of across the board, and I want you all to know that you are welcome here, whatever little box you may fit in that I just mentioned, okay? So know you're welcome here, and I get excited. I get really fired up about studying the Word of God. Psalm 119 is one of my favorite chapters in all the Bible, and was just looking at it today and reminded that the Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. And I love the way the psalmist said that the Word of God is just sweet to the taste. It's honey to my mouth. And it is sweet. And I hope that's what you experience tonight. And I'm going to pray for our night. And then my friend Dan is going to come up here and kind of teach and then facilitate our way through the rest of the evening. Okay? Why don't you pray with me? Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have tonight to learn and grow in your word. And I pray that each person here might just get a small taste of the extraordinary nature of who they might become, would become, if they just allowed you to tap into the ingredients of their life, of their soul, of their essence, and that they would know that you are a God that encourages, you are a God who makes all things new. You're a God who meets us where we are. And I know just stories across the room of what the day might have looked like for certain people. And I know some may be tired, some may be ill, some may be wondering, what am I doing here? But I pray that you would meet whoever, wherever they are, in loving kindness, in loving grace, and just the beautiful, beautiful expression of the Savior that many of us have come to know as Jesus Christ. And so be glorified here tonight, God. Jesus, would you be honored? And as we prayed earlier, I do pray that my friend Dan would decrease so that you might increase and that you would give him clarity in his teaching of the word tonight. Father, we love you. We pray all this in the good name of Christ. Amen.
All right, folks. Welcome to Explore August edition. Was anybody here for the May edition of Explore? Look at that. Man, a bunch of returners. Awesome. So for those of you who are there, you might recall, and those who weren't here, just so you know, we spent some time in John 4 with the story of the woman at the well who had an encounter, a personal encounter with Jesus, who revealed himself progressively and showed her who he says he is, which is the creator and God of the universe, who wants to be the one who satisfies her soul. She met him and took off back to her town and told everybody she knew, you need to come and see this dude. And a bunch of her friends came out and saw this guy and said, man, he is who he says he is. And see, once we enter into a relationship with Jesus, that's just the beginning of the journey where he says, hey, I'm calling you to follow me with full, glad obedience, to be my disciple, and as Lonnie said, to go make disciples, right? So that's how we're going to set up these 2 weeks in this little appetizer in the word that we call Explore. This week, we're going to focus on being a disciple, right? The verb I mean, the word disciple will be a noun this week. Next week, it'll be a verb, all right? We're going to talk about what does it mean to disciple other people. But we're going to kick this off this week with kind of a fun little exercise with a really strange tool that I ran across a couple of years ago in a video, this thing called a backwards bicycle. Does anybody ride bikes in here? Anybody a bike rider? We got some serious people. I know Jason Smith's a big biker, and Lonnie's a biker, and I know some of the other folks in here are bikers. So this bike has some really strange characteristics to it. In order to introduce this to you, I'm going to show you just a short clip of the same video that I saw a few years ago, and then we'll have a little surprise after that. So if you would just stay tuned, we're going to watch a couple of minutes.
Hey, it's me, Destin. Welcome back to Smarter Every Day. You've heard people say it's just like riding a bike, meaning it's really easy and you can't forget how to do it, right? But I did something. I did something that damaged my mind. It happened on the streets of Amsterdam, and I got really scared, honestly. I can't ride a bike like you can anymore. Before I show you the video of what happened, I need to tell you the backstory. Like many six-year-olds with a MacGyver mullet, I learned how to ride a bike when I was really young. I had learned a life skill, and I was really proud of it. Everything changed, though, when my friend Barney called me 25 years later. Where I work, the welders are geniuses, and they like to play jokes on the engineers. He had a challenge for me. He had built a special bicycle, and he wanted me to try to ride it. He had only changed one thing. When you turn the handlebar to the left, the wheel goes to the right. When you turn it to the right, the wheel goes to the left. I thought this would be easy, so I hopped on the bike, ready to demonstrate how quickly I could conquer this.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Destin Sandlin. First attempt riding the bicycle.
All right. So, the faster I go, the better.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. You can see that I'm laughing, but I'm actually really frustrated. In this moment, I had a really deep revelation. My thinking was in a rut. This bike revealed a very deep truth to me. I had the knowledge of how to operate the bike, but I did not have the understanding. Therefore, knowledge is not understanding. Look, I know what you're probably thinking. Destin's probably just an uncoordinated engineer and can't do it. But that's not the case at all. The algorithm that's associated with riding a bike in your brain is just that complicated. Think about it. Downwards force on the pedals, leaning your whole body, pulling and pushing the handlebars, gyroscopic precession in the wheels, every single force is part of this algorithm. And if you change any one part, it affects the entire control system. I do not make definitive statements that often, but I'm telling you right now, you cannot ride this bicycle. You might think you can, but you can't. I know this because I'm often asked to speak at universities and conferences, and I take...
So there it is. It's a little strange, isn't it? Turn it to the right, the wheel goes to the left, turn it to the right. So I'm going to look for a volunteer. So I know there's somebody in this crowd that thinks, man, I got this. I can ride this bike. See, I spend a good chunk of my time teaching engineering to high school students, and watching the video is kind of fun, but we have the real thing in the house, okay? Thanks to my buddy Steve over here who helped us build. We have a backwards bicycle in the house, right? So, yeah. So, now, what we also have is I have $100 in my hand, all right? This says that I'm going to bet you that you can't even ride from that one chair over to this other chair, okay? So, I'm looking for three people. We need one brave person who thinks they can come prove me wrong and prove this guy wrong. And I need two volunteers to come be a spotter. Like, we don't want any injuries at Explore, okay? So we do have a helmet, though. So okay, Ronnie, thank you. Yeah, come on. Okay, I need two volunteers to be a spotter. All right, thank you, Steven and Audrey. Okay, so please put on the helmet. All right, I know, can everybody see over there? You can stand up if you like. All right, so here's the challenge, okay? All right, Ronnie, your job, I think it's on backwards. Doesn't matter. It's not going to matter. Yeah. Okay. Hey, you wear it. Look, it's okay. It's a backwards bicycle, so he's got to have a backwards helmet, right? Yeah. Okay. All right, so now there's only one rule. All right, you got to keep both feet on both pedals the whole way, and then you earn $100, okay? All right, now, please don't let him fall over. No injuries allowed in Explore, okay?
You can do it.
And All right, let's cheer him on. Let's cheer him on. I think he's praying. He should, too. Let me tell you what. Right, Steve? Well, it's okay. I got $100. We'll see. I mean, I might be $100 lighter in a minute, but we'll see. No, you can't hold him up. Oh, to get started. Okay. Right here by me. I mean, 10 feet, baby. 10 feet right here to the chair. Come on. You got to keep both feet on both pedals for 10 feet. It's all good. Real simple challenge, right? He's like meditating. You can have a second try. Go ahead. Second try. You have a second try. Yes. Well, back him up a little bit. No cheating. All right, this last try. 0 for 1. Sorry. At least he hadn't gone like this yet. This is what some people try to do. No, yeah, just don't let him follow her. It's not easy as it looks, is it? Hey! All right. Thanks for trying. Give him a hand. All right. Hey, but wait, y'all three of y'all come on up here. Ronnie, come up here. Steven, come up here. Put the kickstand down. Audrey, come up here. Hey, we got a couple of books up here for y'all, for your kind volunteering here. So pick a book, and please go read it and teach somebody about it. Okay, Stephen. All right, here you go. Pick one. All right, thank y'all. That's kind of fun.
I got closer than anyone else.
Right on. Okay. So you go. Wow, it's kind of impossible looking, right? Anybody else want to try? Right. We had somebody else try this weekend, and I won't give a whole bunch of details, but they kind of got injured in the process. They were really brave and kind of fell over. And anyway, yeah, so it's really true. You really can't. So there's too much going on, and it's literally impossible to ride that backwards bicycle. And I would submit that following Jesus is just about as difficult, and it's literally impossible unless you get some help from him, okay? In fact, we have some truth to talk about. Like, these are some what I would call backwards bicycle truth from Jesus, okay? Like, the first one says, love your enemies, right? Like, there's some people all over this country right now who have a really hard time with that, right? Out there on the fringe. What does it say next? Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Blessed are those who revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. And then it says what? Rejoice and be glad. Right? That sounds kind of backwards to me. Right? So before we get started and dive in looking at what God's word says about how we can learn how to follow Jesus, which is not a whole lot unlike riding that backwards bicycle, okay? We're gonna send this to the tables. We're gonna discuss this for a few minutes, all right? And then we'll bring it back up here. All right, so there's questions at your table. Your facilitators are ready. So y'all jump in. Hey, folks, I'm going to ask y'all to just bring it back up here. And first of all, thanks, everyone, for diving in. And I hope it was good conversation around your table. I know it was at ours. So we're going to spend a few minutes now looking at God's word. And he's going to give us some reminders, some real simple reminders, so we can leave here with some handles. For being a disciple, okay? This is the question we're going to answer, is how are we doing at following Jesus in full, faithful, glad obedience, okay? Now, I want to start with a quick story that was another kind of a backwards bicycle experience for me. Earlier this summer, I got to hang out with my four kids in upstate New York, and we went glamping. Anybody ever go glamping? Anybody? Maybe there's people that don't know what that is. It's glamour camping, okay? So it's like all the bad stuff you don't like about camping, they take it away, and all the good stuff, you get to keep it. So we were in upstate New York in this little farm in a yurt that had electricity and air conditioner and a grill and a refrigerator and beds, and we didn't have to sleep on the ground with bugs. You know, like, That, I mean, I've done some of that, and it's well, it's not that fun anymore to me. I don't know why people want to do that. Like, go lay on the ground? Like, I can be in a bed. But we did have a fire pit outside, and we wanted to enjoy the fire pit and some, and there it is. We you want to go camping and have some s'mores, right? So, but it was interesting. We, by the time we got up there, it had been raining for at least the last couple days, right? And then it was actually kind of sprinkling the first afternoon we were there. We moved in, and then, like, my son went outside, and we were like, man, we want to have some s'mores. But there was some wood out there right by the, like that wood, but it was getting wet, and a bunch of it was really green, and there was like no twigs, and you go, how are you going to start a fire when it's wet, green, and it's raining? That seems kind of backwards, right? So, but my son was like, man, we're going to get this done. So he's out there kind of pull some stuff together, and I'm like, you know, you ever get the pine straw going, it's just got that little red glow, it's not really on fire, you're like, smoke. This is not a fire, right? So I went inside, got some paper, and it was so wet and damp. By the time I walked out there, the paper was like all limp. I'm like, can't even light the paper on fire, okay? But there's evidence right there that we got a fire going, okay? And so that was a bit of a backwards experience for me. I'm like, how are we going to get a fire going when it's wet, green, and wet and raining at the time? But that's my foot drying out right there. And if you're going to get a fire going, you got to have three things. All right, see, I'm the science engineering guy. Anybody want to tell us what we need to start a fire? Oxygen. So we need some air. What else? We can go to that next one, Paula. Yeah, we need, well, let me back up and make a point, all right? we're gonna talk tonight, and you can go ahead, Paula. We want to talk about how we can start a fire and sustain a fire in our soul, okay, to see Jesus as the supreme treasure, right? So we can enjoy him and share him with others as we endeavor to follow him and learn how to ride that backwards bicycle together, okay? So we need three ingredients to start that fire, the real fire. We need air. And what else do we need? And Paula? Yeah, we need fuel. And what else? And some heat. You got to strike a match, okay? Yeah, Paula? It doesn't exist. Well, just take it to the next one. It's okay. Yeah. Oh, see, now I forgot about this. This is a verse out of Acts 13, okay, where Paul had been just got launched out on his first missionary journey, okay, and this is what happened when he went out sharing the word, and this is the Message translation. It says, "And this message of salvation spread like wildfire all throughout the region." And that's what we want to see happen with single adults, and not just single adults, every single person across DFW and out into the nations, right? So we want to talk tonight and next week about how do we start that fire and how do we sustain that fire and then how do we hand that fire off. So we've got to have those three ingredients. We've got to have fuel, we've got to have oxygen, and we've got to have heat, okay? And I'm going to submit that those three things we can find first by soaking our heart in God's word, okay? So that's the fuel that we need to put on the fireplace of our soul, right? On a daily basis. Then the oxygen, that comes when we surround ourselves with people just like we're doing in here tonight and just like those of you who are in a community group are doing on a regular basis. So we surround ourselves with God's people. And then the heat is coming when we surrender ourselves to the Spirit of the living God, right? So we have those three S's. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you that up front, okay? Paula, we're going to grab this next one, okay? So if you're a note-taking person, this is the first one. You want to soak your heart and mind in God's word daily, okay? And then we need to surround. We need to surround yourself with God's people. And then third, surrender your entire life to the Spirit fully. So if you don't leave with anything else tonight, you have those three S's. Look, and I know this is simple. There's another S, okay? But simple doesn't mean easy, right? Just like our friend on the bike over here, okay? So we're going to look at three. We have these three elements to start a fire, and we're gonna look at three stories in the New Testament, okay, with three people. And we're going to work backwards in the Bible also. All right, we're going to start in Acts 16. If you have your Bible, you can start there. We're going to look at a couple of groups of people in Acts 16. right? And then we're going to work backwards into Acts 13. If you want to put a placeholder there, and then we'll eventually get to Luke 22 and then in Luke 4, all right? So just like the backwards bicycle, we're going to kind of work backwards and look at these three S's, all right? And here we are in Acts 16. This is Paul, okay? When we take up this first verse here, verse 13, it says, and on the Sabbath day, we, you go, who's we? Well, Luke's writing this story about this band of traveling missionaries that included Paul, okay? And they went outside to the gate, to the riverside, where we suppose there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women, plural, who came together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia. So if we stop there for a second, we see there's people hanging out together. It's not that complicated, right? Paul was traveling with a group of people, and Luke was there. And these women had decided to go outside the city and pray, okay? And then it moves on and says, hey, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia. Now, it's not entirely clear, but Lydia may have been a single woman. We do know that she was from the city of Thyatira and a seller of purple goods. She was a businesswoman. Maybe she was wealthy. It could be like some of us in here, okay? Now, she was a worshiper of God, right? So it most likely meant she attended the synagogue on a weekly basis as a Gentile with the other Jews there. She was seeking God, and clearly, if you're hanging outside the city gate praying with your, maybe it's her girls' night out gang, I don't know, or maybe it's her ride and die crew, right? Or I don't know, she's outside praying, and then somehow Paul finds out about that, and then we come to the most important line of this whole piece right there. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, right? And you go, well, what happens? See, when we get together, God shows up, right? Like God's in the room tonight. Y'all know that, right? Right? Now, that's a strange thing. If you're not a believer, you're like, what's up with that? Like, you know, we're going, hey, we're going to follow Jesus. Well, where is he? Like, he's not here. Doesn't that sound strange? Like, if you're not a believer, you go, how do I do that? Where is that guy? Like, you just told me he's in heaven. But he says he wants to make himself evident to you, and he wants to use his people to do that. So we must surround ourselves with his people. And it looks like Lydia was doing that, and then God decided to show up. And then you go on, and we're going to come back to this part about what was said by Paul. And it says, and after she was baptized, well, that was quick, right? Looks like a little surrendering going on, right? And then what happens? Her household as well. Now, I submit that that doesn't happen unless she was hanging out with her household for, like, I don't know. Maybe she could have gone right back to her household, and then maybe they didn't know her, but I don't think so. She's hanging out with her household, and then she urged us. So instantly she's like, come hang out with us, right? Come on, Paul, come back to the house, right? She would have been hosting Taste. Anybody been to Taste? She would have been the one hosting Taste, right? Going, come on back, man, and they must have gone because she prevailed upon them, right? So Here's some backwards bicycle truth for our day and age, right? Instead of isolating, right, or going on the do-it-yourself path, which is what the world tells us, I mean, how many do-it-yourself shows could there be on cable TV, right? Now, they're kind of cool, but that's not a way to live, right? You go, we must be called to live together with one another, continually calling each other into the air of community. Right, we've got to have that air. Man, I love sitting at this table and getting around another, having a meal with some believers and just encouraging one another, going, man, listening to somebody tell me about how they're struggling well and getting in the Word and pray it like it's been going on like for the last 15, 20 years of my life, and I never knew that. See, I was that guy like Lydia. I was a worshiper of God. I grew up in the Catholic Church, but I didn't understand the gospel. I didn't really know who Jesus was. I certainly didn't have a relationship with him. And then somebody decided to show up and invite me with a group of people, and they surrounded me, and I was like, man, this is kind of different. Like, what are you talking about? It's free. Anybody read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9? Like, that blew me out of the water, and that's when God opened my heart, and that's when he said, okay, he made me pay attention to the gospel, right? So God can stoke the fires of our soul by reminding us through each other, right, that he's good, his ways are wise, and that he has our best interest in mind, even when things aren't going in any kind of way that looks like that, whether we have terrible circumstances or a situation like, how's this gonna get resolved? Okay, so we're gonna work our way a little bit backwards, and you go, so by what was said by Paul, you're like, what did he say, man? Did he have some magic words, right? Like, I don't have any magic words up here tonight. Like, the Holy Spirit's the one going to do the teaching, right? And I hope that he uses me in some small way here tonight and all of us around the table to do that. But you go, what was it that was said by Paul? And if we look ahead back a little bit earlier in Acts 16. Yeah, and Paula, you can go ahead. Let's look right here. So they were about to go through the region, okay? I don't even know how to say that. Phrygia, can somebody say that? I don't know how to say that. In Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit. So maybe they were talking to God, like where he wants to go. Not over there, right? So that sounds like a little bit of surrender going on, doesn't it? It's like, well, you don't want us to go to Asia? No. And then what does it say? Well, we're trying to go to this other place, Bithynia. No, not allowed to go there. You know why? Because God has a plan. He's trying to reach some people like Lydia. See, Paul was about to plant the church in Philippi, right? And Lydia was the first believer that God saved there. And then Paul went on to save the demon-possessed woman. Then he saved the jailer. He planted the church at Philippi. He said, Paul, I'm going to send you over there, right? And you go, what did he say to her? And it tells us right down here, when you get to verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision and the call to Macedonia, we sought to go into Macedonia. That sounds like surrender to me. And then it says, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. We could all make that same conclusion just about wherever he has us any day of the week, all day long, right? We can make that same conclusion wherever we go, right? And so we know that Paul showed up, God opened Lydia's heart, he preached the gospel, and he planted a church. Can we have an amen? Like, that's pretty cool, right? Okay, so let's keep going backwards. Okay, and we're going to look a little bit farther back at the beginning of Acts 13 in verses 2 and 3. Yeah, and we're going to move past this. See, Paul was hanging out with his compassion, so there we have another example of surrounding yourself. He's not out there on his own, right? And Paul, you can move it ahead. We're going to look at is that it? No. Keep going. Sorry. Keep going. Well, I don't see it. Just stay with me, all right? So while they were worshiping, I'm just going to read out of Acts 13, verse 2 and 3. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Right? So there they are together, worshiping, praying, and the Holy Spirit gives them a command, and then they surrender. Then, after fasting and praying some more, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. That sounds like some serious surrender going on, all right? So, when we look a little bit farther back in Acts, Paul and his companions went to Paphos and came into Perga and Pamphylia, and I'm going to skip ahead. And on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and sat down. All right, and after the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So could you imagine Paul, being Paul? Like, I don't know, has anybody visited Watermark? Maybe you visit every once in a while on Saturday at 4, or you come on Sunday and there's thousands of people. Could you imagine Todd Wagner or JP towards the end of the service, like, hey, we got any visitors out there? You want to stand up and say something, Marty? And Paul's like, yeah, I'll do that, right? And you know what he did? He basically ran through a history of the Old Testament, and I'm sure he didn't pull out his iPhone again and use his Bible app, right? Because he had soaked his heart in the Word, he knew the story, and he could stand up and tell it. And he went and basically pointed people, hey, Jesus came, and this is the guy you've been looking for, right? And he was so compelling in that story that everybody was like, man, can you come back? Can you come back next week? And you know what happened the next week? The whole town showed up, right? I mean, that's never happened anywhere I've gone, right? Share the gospel once, and then everybody's like, hey, come on over. The whole town showed up. But, hey, like, when God's at work, he's going to do impossible backwards bicycle things, right? Now, We're going to move backwards a little bit more in the Bible, and we're going to look at the ultimate example of surrender. Okay, we've seen that from Lydia, we've seen that from Paul, and we're going to move into Luke. All right, so we're working our way backwards, and here's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right, now if you trace the story backwards, you go, who did God use to rescue Lydia? Paul, right? And then who rescued Paul? Well, Jesus himself, right? He showed up on his way to Damascus, and he blinded him, knocked him off his donkey, right? And he blinded him for 3 days and turned an ISIS-like terrorist who was out killing Christians to say, come on, and we're going to go plant some churches all over the world, okay? So we're going to go look at Jesus, who is the ultimate example, who God used to, obviously, he's the one that saved Paul. And there he was in the garden, surrendering. When you go, what was he facing? Jesus was there about, he knew what was coming. I'm about to take on the full wrath of God for all the people for all time. And he says, man, I'm in his humanness, I think we could all imagine, I really am not up for that. But Jesus says, remove this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. I don't think there's a better place to go in the Bible when we're looking for an example for surrender, right? And it's hard, right? I love reading my Bible, don't y'all? Right? And I love hanging with some people, but it's that surrender part that's so hard, isn't it? Like every day something's coming at me that the world wants to tell me to just go get back on that regular bicycle, right? Or if somebody's got something angry to say to me, like, man, I'm a hot reactor. I was telling my table over here, man, I can cut it quick out of my mouth, especially in a high school classroom with some kids getting on my last nerve. And my first nerve too, okay? But if Jesus is there, and see this is another picture that like I have this personally squarely in mind. If I'm gonna soak my heart, my heart's like a sponge, right? And if I'm soaking in it daily and I'm meditating on it and I'm chewing on it and thinking about it and asking the Spirit, would you please be what comes out of me when some adversity, something comes against me, like if I got the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and out's going to come a blessing for a curse, and then the world's going to step back and be like, "What's up with that? I don't understand that. What are you?" I've had students, and I'm not bragging on myself because this is God. Like, I can assure you, it'll test your patience to be in a high school classroom every once in a while. Okay, but there was a kid one time. I was like, "Mr. Garrison, how come you're so patient?" And I'm like, "Look, it's not me. I promise you, it's not me." This is God giving you a little bit of taste of what he showed me in abundance. And see, that's how he calls us to live, right? So if you need a picture for your heart, think of a sponge, and then let's go soak up the word, okay? Now we're going to move one more place back in the Bible. We're going to go one more place back to the beginning, okay? That was just about the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. He's about to go to the cross. But see, at the beginning of his ministry, what happened? Right, the Holy Spirit led him out into the desert, and what happened? He said, I mean, he hung out there for 40 days without any food. Man, I'm gonna get hangry when that happens. All right, right. So if I don't eat for 40, has anybody ever done that? Like, I've never done that. I can't imagine. And then he's out there by himself, and then the devil shows up and decides to bully him, right? And go, yeah, why don't you come? Like, let me. Yeah, like, are you kidding? And what does Jesus do? Right? And those of us who know this story, we probably all know this. He quotes the word to him. And again, I don't think he had his Bible app out there. He had the word stored up in his heart because he soaked in it. Right? And he said, No, I'm not. I'm gonna use the only weapon I got, which is what my dad said, which is man's not gonna live by bread alone. Right? And then it happened again. So Satan's like, oh, I see what you're gonna do. And if you read the rest of that passage, like, oh, you're going to quote scripture to me. So I'm going to quote some scripture to you. And Jesus, he could have backed off and he could have given in, but he didn't, right? He says, no, I'm not worshiping you. I'm worshiping God. And that's the only one we're here to serve. And then Satan's like, oh, we're going to try this again, right? Go to verse 12. And what does it say? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. But he was getting tested. Now, I when I was reading this again, I'm like, this is not how I'd want to react if I was Jesus. like Jesus invented the whole universe. Right? And, there's no biblical basis for this, but I think he could go grab a black hole, kind of spin it around like a basketball on his finger, and then eat it like a chocolate truffle if he wanted to. Right? And be like, Satan, this is what I would have done if it was me. Okay, can we show that? This is what I would have done. This right here.
Enough! You are all of you beneath me. I am a god, you dull creature, and I will not be bullied by him.
Yeah, come on.
Holy God.
Yeah, there's Jesus, so walk off, right? Drop the mic. Satan's on the ground, and he crushed him, right? But he didn't do that, did he? He's like, no, my dad has a different plan. Man, I'm going to get up on the cross, and I'm going to crush you so that my God can reconcile the people he's called to himself, right? I mean, that's what I would want to do. But that's not the example we have to surrender, is it? Now, there's a quote that I found that I think expresses exactly this sentiment. Oswald Chambers said, genuine, total surrender is a personal, sovereign preference for Jesus Christ himself. Right? Not just what he's doing for you, not for the blessings he's offered you, but he's real. He's alive, right? And he wants you to enjoy him as the treasure of your soul. He wants us all to enjoy him, right? So I don't know about you, but I can get caught up in what I'm asking him for, and it doesn't always look like I just want more of you, right? Now, he promises, if you go to Luke 11, God says, hey, ask me for more of my spirit. I'm a good father, and I'll give it to you, right? If God is infinite and we're finite, there's always more of God to enjoy. I mean, we can't reduce God to a formula. Please don't hear me saying that, okay? But if God is infinite and it's going to take us forever to get to know him, there's always more to know, right? And I'm pretty forgetful about the things that I already know. Is it anybody else fall prey to that, or is it just me? Okay, yeah. How forgetful can we be? So that's why we got to stay soaked in the word. We got to stay surrounded with it. It's so simple, right? And we stay surrendered, okay? Now, I've got three final points I'm going to make here just to go take a look at some anchors that you can put in your heart and soak in your heart. And we've probably all seen these before, but this is one of my favorite verses. Every time I open the Bible, I try to pray this and say, Holy Spirit, will you teach me? Will you rebuke me? Will you correct me? Will you train me? Whatever, like, I hope that's what's happening tonight, all of those things, so that we could all be equipped for all the work that God has, God has prepared for us since before time began, right? And he says, get in my word, I'm going to teach you how to do this. Now, sort of like the backwards bicycle, I saw a picture a long time ago that stuck with me, and so I want to share it with y'all. So if you got on that bike and started learning how to ride it, if you look down in the bottom left where it says teaching, right? Teaching is like, hey, you don't really know how to do this. You need to go this way, right? Then you get out in the middle and you're like, uh-oh, I'm not sure which way to go. And so you may turn to the right. And then you might want to take that hard right over to that bottom right turn, right? And nope, the word says, nope, not that way. I'm going to correct you. You got to go back up here. And then sometimes we want to just take a hard left, right? And go, I think I want to go that way. I'm going back to my regular bike, right? And then the rebuking is like, nope, that is not the way to go. That's hard, right? Especially when you need to share that with one of your friends who's trying to go the wrong way. Or maybe they need a little correction. But that, how else are we going to... We need some help to learn how to ride the backwards bicycle, right? Not just a spotter. We got to have somebody, if I fall down, they're going to be there to pick me up and go, it's okay, right? We're going this way. Now, training is like, hey, we're getting this figured out. We just need to practice, right? So I hope that picture helps you. It really helps me think about how the word wants to God wants the word to operate in our life. Right now, here's this one of my favorite verses, and I bet a bunch of people in here know this in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. All right, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. That is what we're doing tonight, I pray. Right? Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, like me, sometimes. But encouraging one another, And all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near every single day. There's no guarantee that I'm even going to draw breath till the end of this night. I hope to God I wake up tomorrow and it'll be a gift. And I can say, man, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Right? It's coming. And we, especially in this day and age, are you kidding me? A couple weeks ago, nuclear war is on the horizon. Right? Fast forward, and all of a sudden, racial nuclear war going on all over the place. We have an opportunity like never before in history. Right? Don't think that the person sitting next to you who's a worshiper of God knows Jesus. That could have been me. Okay? That was me. That was Lydia. Right? Now, we have one last verse I want to throw up there in Galatians. Right? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Sounds so simple, right? Like, let's get on a bike. All we did was flip the handlebars. You can't do it unless you ask the Holy Spirit to empower your spirit and your will and our emotions and our thinking and our desires and our affections and our decisions. Every single part of your life should be rearranged. I love what Todd Wagner says here. Just, hey, if you want to change the world, just draw a circle around yourself. Get busy changing everything in it. Invite people to come in there with you. All right? So I hope this little bit of time with these couple appetizers, look, this is not some giant theological deep dive, okay? But we are going to come back next week and look at what does it look like if we're practicing these, what are basically spiritual disciplines, soaking our heart in the Word and staying in fellowship with our believers and then surrendering to His Spirit. See, God wants us to see Him and savor Him for all He's worth so that then out of the overflow of that, we can go show and share Him with the world. That's what's coming next week, okay? So we're going to throw it back to the tables for some discussion time. And I appreciate your time. You guys dive right back in. Hey, folks, I'm going to call it back here for this last couple minutes. It's somehow already getting close to 8:30. I can't believe it went by that fast. I hope you're having further great conversation at your tables. We do have a wrap-up piece that we want to ask your help with. We have a kind of a really cool creative piece that we're going to keep under wraps until next week. But we would love you to take, there's a sheet that your table folks are going to share with you that just ask you to take a minute and jot down first those folks who helped it share Jesus with you throughout the course of your life, okay? And whoever that is, or maybe it was a situation or you were at church, just take a moment and jot those down. And then likewise, just jot down, hey, here's those people that maybe you've shared Christ with or that you've discipled or you've helped come along to understand what it looks like to follow Jesus. So just take a moment and jot those two things down. And if you would, be so kind to just hand those to your facilitators before we wrap it up tonight. We're going to do something really creative with that next week, okay? And I have a few announcements while you're jotting that down just to give you an idea of what's coming, all right, with single adults. And the first opportunity is to jump on our social media. They're all at WM Single Adults. And if you want to jump on and get the latest news via email, we have a newsletter coming out regularly, and you can sign up for that at watermark.org/single adults. So maybe jot that down or go grab that on your phone. So the next opportunity to connect this week will be, as we regularly do, jump in on this Saturday service at 4 o'clock, and we have a place where we love to sit and gather together, and that's every Saturday at 4 o'clock. The third Saturday every month, there is a meal after that that's planned ahead of time, and you can learn about that on social media, so stay tuned for that later in September. Okay, the next opportunity for gather. Who's been to gather? Yeah, bunch of you. Awesome. The next one is Friday, September the 15th. So mark your calendar and bring your friends. Then there is the last taste event, October the 7th. Registration will open soon. So mark your calendar, stay tuned to social media. And I'm going to hand it back to my friend Lonnie here before we close it out.
Thanks, Dan. Aren't you guys thankful for Dan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Thanks, Dan. Hey, if I know some of you pretty well in this room, and those who know me pretty well know that, man, I get really excited about evangelism and sharing the gospel, and that's why a piece of this ministry, we always like to say we have a story to tell. And if you've met Jesus, you have a story to tell. But I did not want you to miss tonight, you know, praying. When you're out sharing the gospel, and I was reminded of this in the story of Lydia and how God opened her heart so that she could hear what Paul said, the scriptures say. But then in Revelation 7, there's a scene of worship. Every nation is worshiping God. And verse 10 says, "And crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God." Right? It's God who opens the heart. Salvation belongs to our God. And then in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27 says, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father," this is Jesus, "and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." All right? So you just learned three things right there about the sovereignty of God in the act of salvation. Salvation belongs to God. It is God who opens the heart, and those who receive him, Jesus chooses to reveal him. That's how you pray for folks when you go out to evangelize, and it's just that simple. God, lead me into places where I can share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in doing so, Father, I acknowledge that salvation belongs to you. Would you open hearts? And would you reveal yourself through me to those you trust me with sharing the gospel with today? Amen. Boom. Let's go change the world. That's how you do it. That's how you do it. Dan, come on up and close us in prayer, buddy. I'm grateful for you.
All right. Would you pray with me? Oh, good Father, we praise you tonight. And we thank you for revealing yourself as the treasure that our soul is designed to enjoy. And we confess that we're forgetful and we wander, and without your grace, we're lost. And we thank you that your grace comes and intervenes in our lives, just like you did with Lydia, sending Paul, according to your plan, to open her heart. And I pray that those of us who've had our hearts opened would commit and recommit tonight to go and continue soaking our heart in your word and endeavoring to surround ourselves with your people. And Father, would you help us to surrender? It's impossible without you. We need you desperately. And if there's anyone in this room at the sound of my voice who doesn't already know you and whose heart hasn't been rescued, Father, would you do that and use tonight and your word and your spirit and your people to draw them to yourself? And Father, those of us who know you, would you send us out to go be the light that you've called us to be? And Father, would you do that all across the city so that the message of salvation would spread like wildfire out across Dallas and Fort Worth and into Plano and out into the nations? We know this is your plan, and we thank you for allowing us to participate in nights like this. And I thank you for my friends here. We pray all this in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen.